Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, last week we left the two men, maybe disciples, maybe apostles, on their way to Emmaus at a very pivotal point. But knowing God will not force himself on us always leaves us at a point of decision. You know, sometimes I wish God would force us to do the right thing, but not so. He is counting on us to love him enough to turn our backs on the ungodly, the unholy things, and walk in the truth and righteousness. Oh no. God wants children who love him, not robots he can program or little angels that never, you know the grace of God given to man. But there comes a time when God has prepared our hearts enough that we can fully open ourselves to him for whatever it takes or whatsoever the truth might be. We have to open up and invite Jesus in. Let me say that again. We have to open up and invite Jesus in. Not only for initial salvation, my friend, but also for his desires to bring us into the truth and the accomplishments that he wants in our life. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door." Now, the door has always been a place of decision or a gate. The door is always a place of the heart, though. "That I will come into him and will sup or have fellowship with him, and he with me." Revelation 3:20. Now, notice it says, "I will sup with him and he with me." Fellowship is not a one-way street, my friend. There must be a giving and receiving to have fellowship. Now, listen very closely. One-sided fellowship, either from Christ or from us, only leads to division and strife. Now, this verse corresponds to our story, believe it or not. Jesus was standing at the door and knocking. That is what was going on as he opened them up to the revelation that was about to happen. And they did. They opened up to him. They literally invited him, that's Jesus, to come into their house. And they did sup together. Wow. Revelation 3:20 is talking about fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. The same fellowship as it is illustrated in our story. You know, Jesus was a master of using common everyday items to illustrate the deep spiritual truths. Many times Jesus used a picture of bread to illustrate communion or fellowship between himself and us, the believer. But one of the best recorded examples in the Bible is found in John 6:51-57. Here Jesus says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give him for the life of the world. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my meat indeed and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." John 6:51-57. Here we see what fellowship with Christ really means. Are you ready? Now listen closely. It means that Christ is our life. Let me say that again. It means Christ is our life. And you can see that in Colossians 3:4. It is not that Christ is merely given us life. Oh no. As a thing. Oh no. It means that Christ is our life. Either it is this limited to and neither is it limited to salvation. Oh no. It includes all that is within Christ and out from Christ as our salvation, as our very spiritual life. Just as eating physical bread initializes that bread and then it becomes that which nourishes and sustains us, so it is to be with Christ. Just as eating translates into living, so does our communion with Christ. It does the same. Jesus says, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him." That is a living, practical communion. That is the outcome of the believer experiencing Jesus in an inward fashion. As a matter of fact, Jesus being the life of the believer. Wow, Jesus is the life of the believer. And if we go back to the passage in Luke 24:13-34, it is this significance that it was Jesus that took the bread. He blessed it and he broke it. It is significant because this was their house and it was their bread. They invited Jesus, not the other way around. Surely this illustrates that when we begin to see truth and realize God is working, that we must surrender ourselves to him. And if we do, he will break the power of the old nature under a progressive work of the cross through the dealings and judgments in our life. And it will result in fellowship. And that fellowship will open our eyes to see and recognize Christ for who he is. But you will note that the passage states the two men or the disciples or the apostles could not recognize Jesus. It was not Jesus was hiding from them. They came out of hiding. Oh no, they could not see him because it was not Christ blinded their eyes. Oh no, it was they had no ability to see because of their confusion and their perplexity, because of their bewilderment to their plans to flee Jesus up to be the Messiah, take the throne and kick those mean Romans out of Israel. But once they responded to Christ and then invited him in and gave him freedom to do whatsoever he desires, it was then that he broke the bread and their eyes were opened. Oh, my friend, do not miss this point. It was not the situation or the circumstances that has happened the last 3 days. Oh, no. The change was in them. It was in them. Oh, wow. They changed. Their eyes and their understanding was opened, and their heart melted before Jesus as they said in their hearts, I do not understand what is going on, but I want fellowship. I want to serve the Lord. And as they had this heart condition change and responded to Christ, they could see it was Christ himself setting with them. I hope you really get this point about this change of our heart to be able to see Jesus. And why? Because the natural man is not able to discern God. Let me say that again. The natural man discerneth not the things of God. In fact, we see everything, including God, through the lens of ourself. So if ourself is strong, then we will not be able to see God at all, or actually very clearly. And this is why a person must be born again or birth from above to see Jesus Christ. Yet, even when we are born from above, we only at first have the capability to just see Jesus. And yes, even those born from above still continue and will continue to carry the natural man in them. Wow. Until they learn to follow the Lord and until they learn the fallibility of the natural side when it comes to the spiritual reality of things. Oh yes, we have to learn Christ. We have to learn Christ. And the more we allow God to open up our eyes, the more we will see Christ. And the more we see Christ, the more we will learn about our flesh and the things that dwell within us. The things that Paul says, within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Amen. More next week as we continue to look at the fellowship with Christ. Wow, fellowshipping with Christ on the road to fellowship. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, hoping that you have truly enjoyed this teaching today. And these teachings are opening up your eyes. They're helping you. They're moving you out of that concept of salvation is a thing. But no. Salvation is a person in the name of Jesus Christ. All that we get from God is in that person of Jesus Christ. Amen. This has been David Stahl. Looking forward to talking to you next week. God bless. Have a great week. Bye.